A gift of fine quality stationery is always acceptable, and at Schwabacher Fry, 736 South Broadway, all the famous lines are on display. Herds, Cranes, Montags, and others, in hundreds of different styled boxes, designed for holiday giving, with an added touch if desired, of name and address printed or engraved or monogrammed or die-stamped. The gift of quality in social stationery will surely be found in the style and price to suit you in the big display at Schwabacher Fry, 736 South Broadway, Los Angeles. Ladies and gentlemen, we present Reba Crawford, former Director of Social Welfare for the State of California, who will speak to you this evening on matters of important interest. Miss Reba Crawford.
Good evening, Radio Land. I bid good evening to you, Catholic, Jew, Protestant, and unbeliever, because I know that each man has an interest in his own city, in his own county, and in his own state. There is much speculation in and out around Southern California as to just exactly what Governor Frank L. Merriam meant by the appointment of Clyde I. Plummer to Folsom Prison as warden. It is rumored everywhere that by the appointment of Clyde I. Plummer, Governor Frank Merriam joined hands with the Church Brotherhood group, namely Dr. A.M. Wilkerson, who recently admitted accepting $4,500 from a reputed underworld figure, and Robert Coyne, active supporter of the Church Brotherhood, who pled guilty on charges of extortion. We really are inclined to think that Governor Frank F. Merriam is in strange company. We shall be happy in later broadcasts, since the governor has joined the ranks of the would-be reformers, to give him much information about activities not only in the county of Los Angeles, but throughout the state at large, which have every appearance of being law-violating, such as, for instance, the restricted districts in Jackson, Salinas, San Bernardino counties. Governor Merriam is our chief executive, the representative whom we voted into office. He is a man who, in his bitter battle against Upton Sinclair, promised us a liberal social program, just to both the recipient of aid and the taxpayer. I was checking today some of the brilliant promises made in the heated and expensive, very expensive campaign waged to return Governor Merriam to office. I have marveled all day at the magnificent ability to forget both pledges of responsibility and friends of yesterday, possessed by power-drunk men who spend their days listening to the melodious rhythm of yes-men, and would, if they could, cry out, off with his head, concerning any courageous individual who dared for public good to say no. However, knowing as I do the program that has been the absolute intention of Clifford Clinton's informers, recognizing as I do Mr. Clinton's tendency to fight defenseless women and to refuse to make charges while he seems to demand the privilege of wrecking reputations on questionable testimony, I am concerned indeed in hearing that Governor Merriam is lined up hand in hand with such a program. In spite of the fact that campaign expenses are required to re-elect as unpopular an official as the present governor has made himself, I am still, I confess, much concerned. Perhaps the governor thinks that he can successfully skate across the thin ice of insincerity without being plunged into the waters of political defeat. However, I am inclined to feel that as every day goes by, Governor Merriam is growing politically heavier and heavier and heavier. I am fearful that nothing less than 2-foot ice can hold his political weight. forgotten obligations, broken promises, disregard of the poor and afflicted, plus thousands of ungranted legal agent applications in his social welfare department, all loaded upon his back, are very, very heavy indeed. Governor Merriam has a brand new set of advisors, by the way. The men who piloted him personally, politically, and financially through difficult days and heartbreaking hours are no longer good enough. Perhaps the new crew may be as interested in bringing about a shipwreck as the old crew were in attaining safe arrival at the port of destination. Anyway, the governor would do well to consider his course. Present indications offer only a rough, a very rough journey and eventual shipwreck. It is with delight that I announce that Clifford Clinton, vice crusader and personal publicity expert, who was once before given every chance by the grand jury and failed to present anything but hearsay evidence, is going to be accorded the privilege of freeing his mind and giving his tongue much exercise tomorrow before the same grand jury. You know, I believed Clifford Clinton a misguided soul until I read his assertions and charges attached to the defense of Harry L. Ferguson, whose name was submitted to the grand jury by Judge Fletcher L. Bowron and presented to Judge Emmett H. Wilson. The grand jury's petition was denied by Judge Wilson without prejudice because of lack of being notarized and thus verified. Personally, as I said before, if I were the grand jury, I would not bother charging Mr. Clifford Clinton with contempt of court or anything else. His demeanor has been so strange. His record as far as employment of labor is so bad. The grand jury can well afford to leave him alone. But people who should be investigated by the grand jury, in my opinion, are the people who incited Clifford Clinton to such a state of wild, zealous ambition that he felt he could afford to make criminal charges against public officials and private citizens without naming either officials or citizens. Behind Clifford Clinton, there are men. Men such as the recently defeated candidate for district attorney. Men such as Judge Fletcher Bowron, who cost the people of this county many, many, many dollars in his last endeavor to politically murder the uncontrollable district attorney, Buron Fitz. Behind Clifford Clinton, there are other men. Men who have dared suggest, I cannot speak for the other person, but only for myself, that money paid here and now could end this present furore for the individual who might pay the money. I desire to state a fact upon this radio that I stated once over the telephone from my hospital room and once to a representative of my persecutors who visited me there. I desire to state a fact, and that fact is this. I have no money to pay any man or woman for silence concerning me or my affairs at any time, past or present. I invite anyone, anywhere, to publicly state, using my name, Reba Crawford, in such a statement, any adverse or questionable activity which they can verify I have enjoyed. I wish sincerely that Mr. Clifford Clinton, Dr. Robert Schuller, and all, could get everything that they have out of their system and step from behind this weird, misty yellow veil of I know, but I really can't tell. If these gentlemen know of law violations, they are certainly not good citizens unless they report such violations. If Clifford Clinton is on such familiar terms with the prostitutes in this community that he can finance investigators to make publicity arrangements with them and himself afford to interview them concerning the most lurid details of their profession, then Clifford Clinton should certainly stand to his feet and tell his story anywhere and everywhere in the county of Los Angeles. I shall be most happy to meet Clifford Clinton upon any platform in this county, at any time, under any circumstances. Just let him name the date. I shall be happy to answer any and all questions the Ministerial Association or a like body of men can ask me. In return, I should appreciate both Mr. Clinton and Dr. Wilkerson answering a few questions prepared by me. Isn't that fair? I shall not hesitate to meet in fair and kindly debate before any audience, friendly or unfriendly, one or all of the reverend gentlemen or their satellites who desire to expose, discuss, or give revelations concerning conditions existing or supposed to exist in this city and county. I shall be happy to tell in the presence of an impartial, or for that matter, partial audience, my experience with Mr. Clinton's investigators and attorneys. Nothing need be hidden. If the Citizens Independent Vice Investigating Committee want a victim to crucify, I present myself and challenge those crusading citizens to find enough nails made of facts to drive in my hands and feet to hold me on any cross. By the way, who pays the expenses of the Citizens Independent Vice Investigating Committee? Over and above that $5, you know the one I'm talking about, that $5 donation presented a short time ago. As for Mr. Harry Raymond, investigator extraordinary for Clifford Clinton, I recommended him upon the unqualified advice of my attorney for Chief of Police of San Diego, and endured a most humiliating experience as a result. If Mr. Raymond chooses to pursue his customary recreation of driving around, polishing a gun, I am quite sure that any one of my numerous friends, whom he knows well, will be happy to furnish him with my address. It is short in a rather dark street upon which I live. However, perhaps I can have at my own expense a special light installed if I am notified in advance of the gun-polishing exhibit, in order that Mr. Raymond at least may feel that his terrorizing program is not going unnoticed. Mr. Clinton's other investigator and witness, namely, Wilbur Leggett, has received at my hands and the hands of my splendid husband over a period of years many great kindnesses. His war record alone will make ludicrous his attempts to terrorize anyone. Having lost the most important thing in the world, having walked through the valley of the shadow of death, I could think of no fear that I might hold of any future journey through that same valley. Life has been so lonely for me since I came out of the valley of the shadow of death that Wilbur Leggett has more than my permission to return the kindness that Ray Spriveleau and I gave him by taking any method he deems suitable for contemplated attacks upon my person. In short, to all gentlemen who in the name of religion have threatened my life and my good reputation, I issue a challenge. Take both if you can, but be sure that you know your destination before you put your feet upon the road. Don't talk about vice crusades, gentlemen and ladies of the grand jury. Talk a little bit about blackmail, terrorism, gangster money which under another name is buying standing room in your community. Flaunting itself, as I told you, 2 months ago beneath the banner of the Church of Jesus Christ. Of course, if that is what the citizens of Los Angeles want, I suggest we open wide the gates and have a day of public recognition for Eastern hoodlums and their local friends that they have bought with dirty dollars. If that is not the case, then it is time we supported our recently elected mayor and district attorney and our to-be-re-elected sheriff in their combined efforts to save this city and county from the stranglehold that gangster dollars are seeking to buy. May I also suggest that we who are members of the Church of Jesus Christ insist that both sides of each civic problem have an opportunity of presentation before we take public action. Sincerity, you know, does not deal with A, B, C, D, and Madam X's. Sincerity gives imputation names, makes direct charges, and produces evidence. Sincerity in the name of good government is not tied in direct political manipulation, does not seek headlines first and corrections of existing conditions second. Sincerity does not follow the banner of men who have been defeated for public office and who smart and rankle under the burning misery of their defeat. Sincerity walks alone and unashamed. Sincerity produces, as I have produced upon this radio, names and specific instances rather than algebraic generalities. Sincerity, like charity, begins at home and pays a living wage to its employees, serves a dollar's worth of material sold for every dollar paid, recognizes the obligations that exist in every family toward the support of an aged father. Sincerity admits mistakes freely and honestly in order that tomorrow's battle may be fought with spears bright and burnished, Sincerity demands the right and despises the wrong and puts integrity far above any opportunity for public office that might be offered upon a recall ticket. Every man and woman engaged in fighting sincerely for the public good faces the temptation of easy money and the promises of powerful office. I say one thing here tonight. There is no money that is easy when purchased by supporting crooks and hoodlums who desire to rule with a whip of gangsterdom a community. There is no public office worth holding unless that office has been won upon an honest platform of patriotic idealism, practical administration, and impersonal crusading for such causes as the applicant considers right. Maybe I'm mistaken, but after 7 years of battling in public against powerful and moneyed forces, I hold today stronger than ever before my conviction that right is might. And it is Reba Crawford signing off.
You have been listening to Reba Crawford. The opinions of the speaker heard on the preceding program were those of the speaker and not necessarily concurred in by KMTR, which maintains a neutral attitude at all times. KMTR Hollywood, top of the dial.